Hey, Josh.
Hey, Nate. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty good. It's cool up here in Canada for this time of the year. So we're all wearing, sweaters and long pants, which is kind of weird in summer. But it's a nice break from all the heat. And just working away, doing some work on testing taxi and a bit of consulting. And life's pretty good.
Cool. Does the weather change chase the bugs away too? Like all the bugs that like to suck your blood and make you.
Yeah, seems to make less mosquitoes. We don't have too many where we are. We're a bit in town, and it's not too bad. But definitely helps out with that sometimes.
Nice.
Yeah. How are things with you?
Good. Tail end of the summer. Just took I wasn't on a road trip. Still on a road trip with my daughter. Mm. They went out to the Midwest, where she's from, out in Nebraska, and then total time should be about a 3-week trip.
Wow!
But the middle week in between is where, and our son, we flew out, so we took the easy route. But we had different things to do here and whatnot, and they kind of had a nice little girls' road trip. So they should be back Friday, and for our kids, school starts Monday. Coming up quick, coming in hot from just being on some trips and stuff. But yeah, end of the getting ready for fall, I guess,
Yeah, nice. Oh, that's cool. They get to go on a road trip together. That's pretty special.
Yeah, I think the big deal was this summer. She was, she's probably been of age, and me and my wife are not the largest people, so I think my daughter at 13 just passed the sort of safe can sit in the front seat. So she's got to ride the front seat all summer for the road trip, her and her mom, fun stuff.
That's good. Get those core memories in there. That's good. So I have a question for you today. So I've been, looking around a bit at just trying to keep up with other people in my space, trying to keep up to date with some of the trends in the market and stuff like that. And I was just kind of curious, have you thought about that at all? What's your initial thoughts when I thinking about what other people are up to, what sort of tech is going on that relate to my business?
I think it's, I feel like I have a firm, where I put it in my brain. So for me, it is, I know some people say, oh, ignore what other people are doing. And I think for me, it's, I keep abreast of it based off of just understanding of the market. So I think that, I'm never one to particularly copy or what. So if there's gold in them hills over there, see a shift and a change, and you might even hear it from your own prospects or customers, ooh, so-and-so has this. And you're kind of okay. And then it's it comes up another time and another time. And you're does that align with our direction? And maybe it doesn't, and that's okay. But so I think part of it is being aware. So for me, it kind of goes in cycles. There'll be times where I'm maybe a period of doing research on what's going on with competitors and whatnot. Sometimes I've had calls with competitors and we're swapping stories about kind of what the market is telling us, what customers are telling us, not giving away strategic, directions or
of course.
Insights still, you see that too, it's a nice sort of type of thing to understand overall, macro trends, I think. So that's kind of where how I think about it. It's kind of put in a little side box that I open up the box every once in a while. Maybe look at, how are they doing on this channel? Are they doing on these different quote unquote battlefronts? Are they really good at social media? Are they good at YouTube? Are they, I didn't really think there was anything over there, but maybe there is, and maybe I should at least have a general presence so they don't, I'm not, off the face of the earth.
That makes a lot of sense. You're saying, to kind of open the box up once in a while, right? So you're not constantly trying to monitor what everyone's doing, because that's kind of an impossible task at some point. And, it distracts you probably from your own things too, right? But Yeah, just to like, you're talking a lot about like what the market is or like what the landscape is, and how do you kind of survey that? Like you talked a bit about prospects coming in for sure, but are there kind of other channels that you use to find that information or find updates?
I mean, I'll use external tracking tools, whether it's SEO tools, to see, you know, things like how many, you know, what is like Ahrefs times their brand name gets queried a month. Mm. So that's kind of a general indication of how many customers they have. Also, are they getting just general brand awareness, right? Mm-hmm. I did start tinkering with the tool. I don't think I ever created an account before, but I did create an account for SimilarWeb maybe, I don't know, a few months ago. And that was pretty insightful because it was sort of, you know, gave me some confirmation about what I was seeing, but also like, you know, I know a little bit more, but can I read between the lines? Are there opportunities here? And an interesting part was like seeing what countries they're more dominant in front of, from a web traffic standpoint. Maybe it's not their main domain, but what about a subdomain where their app is, right? Like you can garner some just general like sizing, I would say, of a lot of these things. So I think that just gives you, again, a perspective of a battle I'm not on. Should I be over there? Was it worth even doing? You know, maybe it's not, you know, maybe it's you can see things from a country level. It's very, I would say a lot of this stuff, I think you brought up a good point of like, not being in there day to day. So for me, I think about it as like, it is strategic research. It's not tactical research necessarily. Yeah. Right. So it's a very, again, how is the market doing? Maybe there just aren't a lot of people querying. If they're all traffic is down too, then it's not just me, right? Did I do something screw up, or is there a groundswell on this category that more people are talking about, and it's rising all boats and I can see, or it's suddenly popping up in a channel that I didn't think it should pop up in, but is there something there, right? It gives you sort of a nose to kind of just do some general research so you don't get caught off guard
That makes a lot of sense. And I guess like, you're kind of looking at where like these signals are coming through in like search ranking results, or they're coming through customers actually telling you these things. And I think those are probably really good filters for you, because you could easily jump at every little fly that, you know, moves in the industry. And that would take you forever to analyze that or to, you know, think about what's going to happen. But if it's, you know, something that's actually turning up in something that matters, right? Like a discussion or like a search ranking change or someone that's rising in the search rankings, that really kind of, I feel like that kind of does a shortcut for you a bit.
Yeah, those give you signal, right? If something is going on, and if I should, you know, investigate further, like you said about the prospects coming up, it's just like, okay, that's a good, and I don't think a lot of our probably indie founders necessarily know if they're running more of a PLG style or API style business. Maybe they don't talk to as many, you know, customers. So the nice thing is we have a large database of questions and recency biases of like, oh, you like, what are, if I wanted to, I could go into our CRM and find out what are the trends in the past versus the previous 3 months of like which competitors are getting brought up, right? So maybe when it does become a, hey, this competitor is getting brought up in every discussion, it's like, that's a change. That's different. Yeah. Why is that? Maybe they're doing some brand campaigns. Maybe they're doing some other things, or who knows what is, you know, potentially at the root of it, but it may, for us, it may give signal to what's on the rise or what's to come. Maybe they are doing something interesting and I should pay a little more attention to them, versus if they were going to come up, you know, in one out of 20 conversations, or for us even like how many conversations, you know, it's going to tell you a lot about how the person in the decision-making process, what are they thinking through, and who's like all the pep stuff on, like, in the consideration set, right? Like who else is, if those are coming up, are they shopping even, right? Or did they just find us organically and we're the first ones? And that's often, which is nice. So
do you ever like kind of dig further into the weeds and like maybe search out for competitors that, you know, aren't quite making it into prospect discussions yet, but look interesting and you want to, you know, just poke around and see what they're about, you know, maybe for ideas or maybe just to know what they're about. Do you ever do any of that sort of research or do you kind of write that off?
I kind of write that off. I don't dig too much into, sometimes I'll see a news pop of someone that I've never seen before, but mm-hmm. sort of like the prospect thing, until it really matters, it's not, it's not worth much. Or it depends on the weight of, like, if a company I know that's been around and I know that they do make smart moves, then I kind of might look at that a little more detail, right? Because, you know, it's under the assumption that, you know, if people are doing things that they found signal, but you don't know that. They could be just sitting there flapping their lips and swatting at different random things, or, you know, they don't know what I know after being in this industry, or maybe they found something I didn't know and I never looked at it appropriately, or there's a current change. But until you have signal of them coming up, maybe a customer switches from us to them, those are pretty tall orders, because, like, the switching costs are not not insignificant. So if someone did switch, it would probably, you know, potentially take notice. Or if they switch for a reason that we didn't understand, because there are competitors that do better at certain things than us, and they might move on for that reason, and that's okay. It may not change how we're.
Yeah, I find that really interesting, because that sounds like a nice sort of safety net in a way. When you have all of these signals coming in, you have this bank of data to be able to rely on to say, hey, like, I kind of know where things should be, and, you know, you wait till things bubble to the surface in some ways before you have to react. Yeah, I'm thinking of that compared to, you know, when you're in the product market fit stage and you're trying to, you know, even see if your thing is worthwhile, or you're looking at what other startups are doing, right? It's just so much more in flux and so much less reliable signal.
Right, right. I find it's hard. It's definitely hard when it's all, you're in the early stages of everything, like finding a customer in a new to a market. All these things are just, you don't have the reps yet to have that level of confidence. Even if, you're, you know, listening to this podcast and Nate and Josh are telling you not to worry about competitors, but the reality is you're not going to feel like you can't until you've dug down more of these rabbit holes and maybe made some of these mistakes of chasing something you were worried about, or one customer said one thing and you saw another tweet and from a recency bias perspective, without you even knowing, it seems like everything is going in this direction and it's telling you something, and you go build the feature and, you know, nothing happens. But, but you gotta, you know, sometimes you have to do those things to kind of have that level of conviction. Right. So, like, I think you and I both talk about having a pretty balanced, like, emotional state with a lot of these, but it's definitely not easy all the time. There's plenty of hard decisions where you're like, should we build that feature for that one customer that's about to leave, and it would really be painful, or do we stick to our guns, stick to our strategy of, like, we're the best for X, not for Y, right? It's hard. Sometimes these decisions.
That is so true. I would say I'm a fairly stable, like, emotionally person, but I would say that with when it comes to decisions, you know, coming from customer feedback and stuff like that, that is quite the roller coaster for me. And just trying to keep a level head through it too, I think is really tricky, because you want to help the customer, you want to, you know, all these things.
I want to put a face with it too. It's a face you have to actually say, no, we're not going to do that thing, right? Like making a decision in a vacuum to yourself, saying we're not going to go after that market, or we're not going to do a feature similar to that. But you have a customer that says, hey, if you had this, and you kind of like, it's not because I don't care about you either, but I don't know.
I've definitely, I feel like I've gotten a few reps on that, like in a low risk way with Status List, just having people ask for things. And I feel like I've had it for long enough now that I kind of know what it needs to be. And so, like, when people ask for, like, outrageous things, I'm kind of like, no, I've seen this rodeo before. I've done a few features that I probably shouldn't have. Okay, maybe we'll not do that. Have you thought about this kind of on the tech side of things, or I'm not sure how much that affects your business exactly. Just, you know, if there is new technology that comes out, or a new way of doing things that customers really gravitate to, or would really give you a leg up in terms of I don't know, maybe you have some sort of background jobs or something like that, that would really be a lot better with this new technology. Have you kind of looked at, you know, the competitive landscape in terms of technology as well? Or so I guess I'm kind of coming at this from working on testing taxi. And one of the things we have to do is basically have like an agent that that does your testing. And building that agent is really hard, and using the best technology makes a huge difference in what you're able to do. And so staying up to date on that for me is actually really useful. And I've seen also for, you know, development speed, right? Certain development frameworks are really quick to be able to build with, and other things take quite a bit longer. Do you kind of consider that side of things as well? And when you're doing your, you know, competitive landscape, you know, thinking about strategic things, or is that kind of something that you maybe push off to your dev team?
No, I mean, stuff, let's just say, for example, AI, right? AI is on the forefront of a lot of change, as was previously like mobile and these things. Yeah. Like, I would say there's been times I've missed the boat. I do enjoy learning about the things. So I think, you know, coming up with your thesis and how you apply that lens of what that technology can do for your industry. Like, I've come to terms with ours, which I don't think AI is a big threat from a technology stack perspective for what we're doing, right? The key part of referral marketing is the relationship and the brand resonance it has with a person on the other end. So, you know, there are opportunities to just add little enhancements like, you know what, we can improve, you know, giving people suggestions for, you know, different ways to write this email that is introducing the referral program.
Sure.
Like said, but those aren't going to be, those aren't like the first order types of things that Referral Rock does, right? Like the fact that we're basically, you know, a CMS of sorts for referral programs and a CRM on the back end, but also does email. Like it's none of the stuff we're doing. It's like you add those up together and it solves a job. None of that job is really like going to be 10x better because of AI. And that's probably like the litmus test, right? So when everything went mobile, you went to a whole new interface, you know, getting to a whole new set of potential users, like it opened up a whole big can of worms and interactions and things. And you have to go think like, what does it look like in a mobile world, right? And same thing in an AI world of AI can do what a lot of different, you know, what might have taken a lot more like research to do or a lot more dirty work. Now that thing that used to not be worth the squeeze now kind of is, because the cost got like, you know, not necessarily a 10x gain in productivity, but a 10x savings in cost, you know, or something like that, or 1/10 the cost now, versus human labor that could make errors and other things like that. Like that's kind of how I've thought about it. So I'm trying to always be, like I said, I've been blindsided by mobile before in the past. I think I've talked about Ubernote. We strategically decided to do nothing on the mobile front. And boy, that could have changed our trajectory. But, you know, who knows, right? But at that time, I did take a like, I don't think it's going there. And I didn't take a lot of stock and time really thinking through what it meant, what a mobile first world meant, right? I think I've thought a lot about more with AI, and I'm looking at it from our own, you know, productivity standpoints, but from a product standpoint, my initial analysis today could change in 6 months, it's like that is not a force.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Cause I think you're right. You've got this stable platform that, you know, people already recognize as it fulfills all the needs. Right. And if someone were to come along with just an AI first version of what you have, they're going to have a whole wall of challenges to get through before they can catch up to you. And so
they're just like, what does that even mean? What is
If
anything, AI almost points to like more of a, there's going to be more noise in the system. Mm-hmm. And now it's pointed to like advantages of brands and being more authentic and more connected and having stronger relationships with customers now becomes like a, oh, actually that's refreshing now. So it's it may provide like a net like positive for, or a way of marketing it, you know, in a different, in an AI world might be like,
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think though, like even outside of AI, like I think of like the VR stuff or even just some of the mobile features that we've gotten over the years, right? With like location aware stuff and like good data connectivity. I think a lot of those things have meaningfully changed the experience for some users and mm-hmm. in a way, a second order way, not like, you know, have a good platform or not, in more sure. having a easy to use platform or a more useful tool. And right. I guess I've often been kind of the person that is like, I'll just ignore that until it becomes a real thing. I've kind of taken that approach to most things. And I found that I often wait too long. There's been definitely times where I could have benefited by just taking a little bit more time to learn about it a little bit earlier. I think especially of like the, you know, that this single page web apps have been a really big thing for a lot of my clients just to make mm-hmm. them, it just makes it feel a lot better, right? And then even with some of the VR and AI stuff, a lot of that is really just solving a specific problem for a unique set of customers that just, it really just pushes it over the top for them. And so they go from being the like, oh, this is all right platform to being like, I'm going to tell my friends about it. And right. yeah, I just think of those kinds of things. Maybe they're not so much a threat in the way that like, you know, doing market research, you do it to look for threats, but maybe more of a way of like, yeah, you like some sort of technology research to like just level things up in a small way for a subset of users.
Right. Right. Yeah. And like we said, I think what we've alluded to is it, you know, it's all, it depends. Like, it's like, I think the space you're working on, it is important to kind of be up on those, because those could change that X factor of value you're providing, you know, mm-hmm. in a meaningful way. Another one too, that I think about too, from our standpoint, is like, if we started to have customers asking about specific mm-hmm. AI features and use cases, like that would kind of go, oh, okay. Or like you even mentioned, hey, am I looking at competitors? Maybe they are doing something in a different way, and I should at least give it the time to understand what their angle is, right? And maybe there is something down that tunnel. So if mm-hmm. if something did come across my desk, so to speak, from a maybe not a, but a brand new AI first referral marketing, I might be like, okay, yeah, I don't think there's anything there, but let me see with thought. Let me see their thesis. Let me understand their angle, and maybe it does wake up to be like, oh crap, yeah, this could broadside me in 6 months if I'm not aware of this, and we should decide strategically, are we better on our
path? Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right, and that's how I like to think about it. Although I feel like I'm a little bit armchair quarterbacking, because you know there's the stuff for testing taxi, but that's really early phase, and so it's kind of hard to really like, you know, does it really affect, you know, things? Right. And with status list, it's really, that's kind of a set thing, but it definitely does make quite a bit of difference in my consulting work. Just in some of the like some of my consulting clients have a lot of customers that use my software, and yeah, if you just interview, you know, the loudest ones and you kind of hear, you know, what's going on, it can make a huge difference
right.
for a subset of people. Like I was saying, like it turns them from those like, oh, this is all right, to like, oh, I'm going to tell my friends, this is awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, like you said, it comes with those ordering effects, like VR, you know, for certain clients could have a, you know, for you, you probably have to look at it from each client seat perspective. What is a VR? Mm. What could VR add to this that wasn't possible? What could AI add to this that wasn't possible? What can mobile add to this that wasn't possible before, like the advent of this thing? Or even, I think the micro decisions, the one you talked about before, like single page applications or, you know, other open source infrastructure pieces. I think there's always like keeping a general eye on that. But for example, one I'm actually really interested in.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen some press about it, and I think a few of our friends have been using it.
Right, because it's like, you know, from what I understand, you know, it's an open source project, but it's been commercialized, and they have, you know, a SaaS out of it, and it's similar to like something we already use, like we use Elasticsearch, right?
But yeah, yeah,
Elasticsearch was built more for search, but it also happened to do pretty decent with like, you know, flat file types of stuff, I guess, mm-hmm. You know, more, what do they call it? No SQL. Yeah. Like yeah. They be more, but basically like, you know, not relational database. So,
yeah, it's,
but like pulling data and stats out of that has always been like one of our core use cases, but now I'm looking at Like, how about how we arrange our database? Like, could do we actually is ClickHouse actually a better fit? You know, that wasn't around a few years ago when we were making the decisions to go with like Elastic for some things. But, you know, something like that is interesting. Maybe it's not going to necessarily make, you know, customers use our service or recommend our service over another, but it could make our internal infrastructure teams and how we're designing databases or how we want to, if we need to shard or if how we scale these types of things, like those could make significant differences. Elastic made a huge difference, and now this one might be even better. Or are we too invested in it? Is it worth changing? Right. So there's those ones I think come up, and you kind of have to sit back and like stay aware of other trends, but also make other friends. Like a lot of the things I think from some of our like friends in some of our Slack groups, it's like they might work in ones that are even heavier statistic friendly, or ones that do more with email delivery, and how Referral Rock basically has a ESP inside it as well for sending emails. Who are the people that I'm going to call and talk about deliverability? And there's a few friends that run, you know, their own little ESPs and whatnot. And those are the first people I'm going to call and be like, well, what are you using to backend manage that? Like, and what delivery service are you using? What are you looking at for that? So I think a lot of that is just like, again, having a diverse set of technology friends, which I think you and I both do, which is kind of fun. And you kind of using that as a, hey, there's a groundswell over here. It's cool. Let me.
Yeah. I would say, like, especially on the technology side, I found it so helpful just to be aware of what's going on. Not that necessarily that you have to like go and invest lots of time in it, but just to play around with things. And because some things are like a 10x improvement that you didn't know you could do. Right. And, you know, it might be easier than you think, but yeah, it's also, you can't chase the latest shiny thing all the time either. It's, you know, you have to put it back in the box and, you know, only visit it, you know, once a year or whatever it's going to be.
Or it's great if you were the one to chase the shiny thing and you learned whatever, and then someone in a networking group asks about it, you can go and brain dump to them and say, here's what I learned, and you maybe you're saving them time. And that's where that great like sort of I think even when we moved from React, I was like asking a couple people like, hey, we're .NET backend. And it's like, I've heard of Vue, React, Svelte, all these different ones. I kind of threw it out there, and also threw it out there to people that had more of a .NET background to understand, not just like a, well, you should just uproot and move to Ruby or Laravel or whatever. And it's like, no, that's not going to happen. So thank you, but let me find someone that.
Good stuff. Well, this has been really helpful for me, and appreciate you sharing your thoughts. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Not 100%. I had a couple tangents I could have gone. I think we kept it relatively tight, which is probably better for the reader owners for now. But I know we haven't recorded. I think we might have missed a cycle. So, I know we're still here. We're still here.
All right, sounds good. Well, we'll see you next time, Josh.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you want to chat with us, we're on Twitter. I'm at Nate Bosher, and Josh is at JLogic. If you're a new listener, check out some of our most popular episodes. Episode 52, 7 years to 22 MRR and zombie startups. Or episode 30, review sites are a necessary evil and hacks to get around them. Thanks again.